Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
People see you and say, man, there's something different about that guy. His whole attitude's different. What's different about that guy? You're being holy in a very unholy world.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. We'll continue our study of the book of 1 Peter today as Pastor takes us to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 21, and he shares with us a message called Staying Clean in a Corrupt Society.
1 Peter chapter 1, we've been preaching on the whole theme of making a difference. This is our theme for the year and picking the general epistles. This fall we preached through James, and now we're into 1 Peter. Do you remember the message that we mentioned a couple of weeks ago about this letter was written to, in essence, the cowboys out on the frontier, the Roman frontier. And Peter had heard about their struggles and difficulties and wrote them and realized as we unfold the whole book that these were people that weren't just out there somewhere in the middle of nowhere, sequestered in this little place where no one had any other contact. They evidently had plenty of contact with plenty of the cities and the world around they were living. They were just up there amongst all the rest of those people groups up there because they were flushed out of Rome because of the persecution. And on that backdrop, this is why Peter evidently also said to them, hey, listen, you need to be able to stay clean in a corrupt society because our world is really bad. It's not much different than it is today. This is where you find Peter in 1 Peter 3 giving for the believers five incentives to help us live purely in an impure world, a clean in a corrupt world, and helping us to maintain a different lifestyle. These are the five. Notice, if you would, in verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he says, here's the first incentive, that you would realize the return of Christ is an incentive to help you live clean in a corrupt society. The unsaved world, they don't know any better. They're in ignorance. They just don't know any better. This is why Peter says, you know what incentive is? Your incentive is really the holiness of God. This is what the context is when he says, don't live in the former passions of your ignorance, but as you which have been called to be holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, in every walk, in every way of your life or your conduct, because it is written, and he quotes here Leviticus. He says, you be holy as I'm holy. And he takes an Old Testament concept and he makes it a New Testament truth. And what is this? Peter's saying, listen, I've got to be in my world and be holy so that I'm different. It starts in the inside with my spirit because the Holy Spirit lives in my spirit as a child of God. So I'm going to be different in my own conversations and what I say, my own contact and what I do. Because now I've been taken out of, you had been imitators of that old world. You were fashioning yourselves around the standards and pleasures of the world. Don't end up living that. Don't let them conform you. Now, if you've got those two, you've got key concepts that lead to the third incentive. Notice, if you would, in verse 16, when he made the statement this way, when he quoted, it is written. And you know what he's talking about there? The incentive beyond the holiness of God is the Word of God. In other words, when I mention the holiness of God, don't be like everybody else. You'd be different. And the Word of God is given to us. He quotes that because that's the authority for the believer. And you know what the simple point is? Use God's truth for maturity. Number four, he also mentions, notice if you would, the judgment of God. What is this judgment? Notice what he says, verse 17. He's giving us an incentive. You go, an incentive? The judgment? Yeah, it's awesome. Look, if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons. In other words, hey, he's not going to decide, oh, you're this color, you're this age, or you're this person, or this amount of money. No, he's judging according to every man's work. The very idea of judging carries the meaning to judge in order to find something good. Not something bad, something good. He's saying to these believers, listen, the judgment of God is not about the judgment of a believer's works for salvation. It has nothing to do with salvation, except that that salvation ought to produce good works. Our sins have already been judged on the cross, and therefore they can't be held against us. Understand that you can be motivated, and the incentive is that someday you're going to be in a place that God will end up judging your work to see all the good things you have done, because what Christ did in you, you're doing it for others, and he's going to reward you for this. Oh, man, this is the judgment of God that I want to be plugged into. You can't lose your salvation at that judgment. We can lose our reward. And that's something that we certainly should fear, 1 Corinthians 3:13 to 15. A wise person said way back, listen, I'd rather face the fires of heaven than the fires of hell. And he's saying, when you have a mindset, then you're in a place you can do that. You are taking up the, well, as he says in verse 13, when he starts all of this passage out, when he says, listen, you gird up the loins of your mind. You be sober. I think it implies not just the alcohol part to that, but you end up having a mindset of being of a calm demeanor. And the whole passage is not necessarily about staying clean in a corrupt society. This was a means to an end. So I could be in a place and say, God, I'm pursuing you. I'm doing what you called me to do, and I'm not going to worry about all this. Thank you, God, for this incentive to motivate me like coaches to say, you can keep doing it, and I'm coming back, and you have something good to look forward to. And there's such a positive move that way that I'm like, you know what? This is all I've created to do. I want to do this. Get out there. Move forward. Use prayer, the Holy Spirit. God's motivated you. What are you doing? You don't have to be anybody great. It might be a simple matter as, you know what? You continue on in being kind and nice to your neighbor and baking things for them, giving a track out here and there. You're an athlete and you're playing and people see you and say, man, there's something different about that guy. His whole attitude's different. What's different about that guy? You're being holy in a very unholy world. Man, you see that guy got knocked down? He didn't get mad. He helped that other guy up. Hey, I saw him at work, and man, I know he said he's a Christian, but man, that boss just chewed him out. And he just said, yes, sir. That's being holy. Hey, see, those guys are showing up at church, and what is that about? Let me tell you something. That didn't make you holy, but you expressed to other people your desire to be able to be different. I think of our own missionaries, many of them that do the same. With this, I think of Paul Zimmer, who had an interest in being able to, he's had for many years now, going out to the outer islands of Yap. He wanted to do that. Been praying for a long time about it. A few weeks ago, they said, hey, listen, we have a ship that's going out. It's kind of like the Greyhound bus that goes out to Feist and all the rest of the islands, turns around and comes all the way back. And he said, would you be willing to go on that, because we know you're an electrical engineer, and help us with putting up these power grids? They're right, knocked out. He and a couple other guys said, I'll do that for you. I want to help Yap, and if you allow me to be able to, I'm a believer in Christ. And he said, yeah, you can do that. He got on the bus and went all the way down to the end and came back, 21 days. He said, Pastor, he said, I got off the boat and the boat captain said to me, Paul, I want you to know our whole atmosphere of our ship changed because of you. Up with 300 people on that ship. Like a Greyhound, just dropping people off at the islands and coming back in. I said, well, what did you end up doing? He said, I would work all day, get back at the boat at 6:30 at night. And then he said, I had these Christian videos, these movies I'd show. Boat captain would go, it's movie time. Get out the bed sheet, you know, put all these Christian videos on every night. Then he said, they travel all night long, show up in the next island at 6:30 in the morning and get off and then do the whole thing again. See, Paul's just saying, it's not about being holy. Oh, look at that guy, man. He got his tunic up. Yeah. Why? To be able to be used by God for whatever it may be. In his case, it's what God called him to do. He said, the first day I got on the boat, he said, we stopped at the first place. He said, at the end of the boat, they all became all fishing, and we got fishing, and they got talking to the guy, and out of this conversation, we got talking about the gospel and who Christ was. His name was Leroy. He said he wanted to know more. I went through the whole gospel, wrote it all out, all the promises of God. You can't put your trust in your church and all your traditions and teaching. You have to put your in Christ and who Christ is, and it's Christ alone. For by grace you save through faith. It's not of yourselves. You can't work your way to God. How good is good enough? It's never going to be good enough. The goodness is found in who God is, in Christ. Explain all this. Paul said he was in tears, but he said, I'm not ready for this. Okay, no problem. Gave him the sheet. 21 days later, he goes to the end. He ends up coming back. He had to stop at the one island, this same island, because he ran out of movies. He wanted to get more movies. Said, I got out of the boat, the little boat from the main ship, got to the shoreline to get out. He says, I'm trying to find where I'd left these videos that someone had sent to me, Bob Whitmore. And he said, a guy rustling bushes, and here's the same guy, Leroy. He says, hey, Paul. He goes, hey, Leroy, how are you doing? He says, I'm looking for such and such. Hey, I'll help you. And on the way up, Paul says to Leroy, Leroy, did you think about what I said? Leroy said, oh, yeah, Paul, I did. He said, I received Christ as my Savior. Thank you for telling me the truth. I realize this is true. This isn't about a religion. He said, I have my Bible. I've read my Bible, but I didn't understand this. So simple. I accept that I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus is the one that did all the work on the cross. It's not what I do, but God's done. Called upon him. Paul said, that's awesome. He goes, you know what else? He said, Paul, he said, when I got home that evening, Grandpa was there. I said, Grandpa, I met a man that told me the truth. Grandpa said, hang on a minute. You believe this? Yeah. He said, why didn't you bring him here? He said, well, I didn't think that you'd wanted me to bring him on our island. He said, wait a minute. Go get everybody in our clan. 35 people. He said, Leroy, stand up and tell everybody what you just found. Leroy said, I was like embarrassed, but I told him the best I could about the gospel and the good news that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it's not about believing all these traditions. It's about the truth of the gospel that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. And I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. Paul said, well, what happened, Leroy? He said, well, he said, my grandpa said, I believe that. I'm going to get saved right now. He got on his knees. He got saved. And he said, when it was all said and done, there was like 20 people that got saved in my village, in my little clan. He said, Paul, I want you to come back. Would you please tell us more? Amen to that one. It's not about, oh, look at Paul's got his tunic up or down. It's about, this is the goal. Why are you here on this earth? Hey, well, I can't go. Okay, you can't go. Then you're in a place that you can give more to be able to help other people to go. This is how New Testament church works. This is why Peter said, I'm telling you, you be clean in a corrupt world. Not so that, oh, you can't do this anymore. It's like, you don't want to do this. There's too many incentives for too many good things to do. That you can make a difference. This was what the truth is today.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.